Matthew 16, let's read a couple of verses here. Bible said in verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the, like I say, it's one of the almost, we got one more Sunday in this year, and this year will be history. And then if the Lord's will, we here Tuesday will be in another year. And I want to preach this morning, I want to give you some things that the church has lost, and some things that the church needs to remember and hang on to, or else the church... Now, Jesus said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against his church. And, because I'm not going to get in all that text here. There's four or five messages we preach on this text here. But one thing I want to tell you, that church there is not the local church. That's not the local independent Baptist church that a lot of the preachers try to tell you that's the local church. That is not the local church. Because the gates of hell have prevailed against some of the local churches. Matter of fact, the gates of hell have took over some of the local churches. But the gates of hell won't ever, they might come against the real church, but they won't prevail. And I'll tell you why that some of the local churches have been overcome by the gates of hell, because of things they've done. Now, there are a lot of things the church could do without. We don't need a lot of this stuff. You know, you go in their church, you see $5,000 worth of sound equipment. You'll see a set of $2,000 horns and drums and musical instruments. We don't. You don't have to have all that to preach the gospel. I mean, they just a lot of things that the church has got, they don't need. But there's a lot of things they should have, they don't have. And that's what the problem is. And I'm going to give you, if I have time, I'm going to give you about seven things that the church needs to keep and not lose to stay in business for the Lord, to keep the gates of hell from prevailing against it. Number one is, we need church services that honor and glorify Jesus Christ. We don't need church to honor and glorify the preacher, or Dr. Ripper Dipper, or Dr. Snotslinger, or the school, or the ball team, or something like that. We need church services that would honor and glorify and relate people to Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this morning your heart ought to be on, I believe you come to church, your heart ought to be on Jesus Christ. I don't believe it ought to be on what happened Saturday night. I don't believe we ought to be on what's going to happen Monday. It ought to be on Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians. I'm going to read a scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is something that deal with the Christian, the New Testament Christian, saved by grace under the blood of Jesus Christ. His sins under the blood. She sang the song a while ago. It's all under the blood. Everything we got is under the blood. We get to heaven, it'll be through the blood. No other way. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 19. Here's what the Bible says about the New Testament. It says, speaking to yourselves. You ever talk to yourself? One fellow said, I like to talk to myself. I like to talk to intelligent people. Well, that's pretty good. I mean, the Bible says speaking to yourself. It's not unscriptural. See? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not about putting on a show. Not about entertaining nobody. Not about being professional. Amen? The Bible just says Christians ought to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, you can't do that if you don't rejoice, if you can't rejoice in being saved. See? You say, well, you come to church Sunday morning, well, you just don't know, by gosh, what happened Saturday night. But you're still saved, ain't you? Well, you ought to have something to rejoice about. You ought to walk in the church with no sad, long face, worried about what happened. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what the average Christian has done in America? You let the heathens take the joy of salvation away from you. We come to church, we ought to honor Jesus Christ. He's worked for me. He saved us. Everything we got is because of Him. He ought to be honored above everything else in the church. And you can't do that and throw your King James Bible away. You can't go in a church and honor and glorify and the subject of everything you do be Jesus Christ, reading out of an NIV, RSV, ASV, or some of these other modern Catholic translations. The church, that's the church that has let the gates of hell come against it and destroy the purpose of it. And I still say, and I'm going to go a little bit further, I'm going to probably get somebody upset right now, I still say that a church that throws away the King James Bible is a church that God has abandoned. You say, I wouldn't say that. Well, it's because you maybe don't know nothing, amen? Maybe you need to read the Bible a little bit more. Now look at verse 20, Ephesians 5:20, the Bible says, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. Anybody know what that means in the Greek? That means you don't quit. Amen? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our denomination, right? No. The Bible says in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's some people that profess to be saved. They think more of the denomination and the organization they do the Word of God. You say, well, the Lord is not good. You say anything about the Lord, they won't care. You say anything about their denomination, their religion, they don't want to fight you. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is not the whole subject. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. I read you Ephesians 5:19-20, but I didn't read you the verse before that in verse 18. Huh? The Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now you'll notice that's not a suggestion. That's not a recommendation. That's something the Bible tells you to do if you're a Christian. Huh? Now let me show you why a lot of people don't feel the Spirit of God. Evidence of it. I was thinking about a message this Sunday going to preach evidence of the Holy Ghost. I ain't got it all together. I'm going to preach it next Sunday. But anyway, the Bible says that you ought to be filled with the Spirit like a drunk is just drink too much. And I know what I'm talking about. I can relate to this because I know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not know something about this, but did you ever see an old drunk that's drank too much? He ain't scared of nothing. He fight a bear. And he can't even stand on it. He fight a bear. You know what that means? A Christian ought not to be scared of nothing. You know, we live in the coward Christian, you know. Oh, I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to say that. Oh, my God, they'd get so mad if I said that. Yeah. Afraid to stand up and say something. Afraid to speak out against something. I went to church one time and, you know, I don't know why people think you ought to go when you go to a funeral, you ought to be quiet. You ain't going to wake that fella up. And I went to church having a funeral. I said, hey, what y'all doing? They said, my gosh, like I, you ain't going to hurt him. He ain't going to wake up. He didn't hear me. I mean, you know, where you get out of you, we're supposed to come to church and be quiet. Where you get out, we're supposed to be, keep our mouth shut. Where do people get out of the Christian not supposed to say nothing? People are scared. You can feel the Holy Ghost, you won't be scared. The devil's pride won't scare you. Amen? He ain't scared of nobody. I tell you something else about an old drunk. You ever see him? I knew an old fellow one time. I ain't going to tell you his name. You wouldn't know him no way. But anyway, I knew him. I knew his daughter. And he was one of the tightest fellows. He wouldn't give you the time of day. And this happened to me now when I was about a 15-year-old boy. I went to his house one night to see her. And he was just stupid drunk. He was staggering around there. Hey, buddy, old buddy. You know, he just coming, hugging my neck, you know. And he says, he pulled his Reese's pocket, pulled out a bunch of money and says, go buy us a drink. Probably all the money he had, you know. But he wouldn't give you a nickel, see. An old drunk will give anything away. Sure he will. The illustration, that's why Christians feel the Spirit, that's the way you ought to be. You ought to be willing to give. You're bold. You ain't scared of nobody. You don't care what people think of you. You're no drunk. You say, you're drunk. Oh, I'm not drunk. I just drank a beer. You know, he can't stand on his own 2 feet. Then the Bible says, after that, see, verse 19 and 20 is the results of verse 18. See, the thing it is, your heart should be on Jesus Christ. Now today, most folks go to church, I'm going to tell you what their heart's going to be on. It's on Christmas. Sure it is. That's everybody's thing. That's the big thing now. That's all you hear. Radio, TV, all you see, Santa Claus, Christmas, jingle bells, you know, all this stuff. That's all you see now, see? I mean, they forgot about God in the Bible. Like I told you this morning, every church tonight, Sunday night, 90% of them will have a Christmas play. Guaranteed it will. So what the church needs, number one, is Jesus Christ. He should be the center and the subject of every service. And you can't do that without the Bible. You can't honor God without God's Word. All right, number two. What the church needs and what we've lost. Now, here's something that most churches today have lost. They have lost their convictions. You say, preacher, what's a conviction? You say, well, I don't do this. Now, well, you may have conviction, but don't put them on me. Now, let me tell you what a conviction is. In case you don't know, a conviction is just something that you establish based on what the Bible says. It's a belief in the Bible. Very few people have any convictions at all. Now let me show you something. Let's go to the book of Jude chapter 3. We preached this book. It took us about 3 months to go through it, and you probably remember some of this. You should. Jude chapter 3. And Jude writes, he says this, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, listen, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. That earnestly, that means you got to put something into it. You got to work at it. Earnestly contend. You know what contend means? Huh? It means a fight. See? You should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. At one time, the saints had the faith. The faith is the revealed truth of what God said. Not necessarily a saving faith there, but the faith of what God said. And Jude said, I'm writing this thing that you should earnestly contend for that faith. The professing saints today don't earnestly contend for the faith. They contend to get rid of the faith. Isn't it strange that you can go in some of these churches and And I don't do it, but I've been around. I mean, they profess to tell you they're saved and believe the Bible, and you start talking about one Bible, one book. Well, I don't know whether there's others that's good. My pastor don't never say there's anything wrong with the NIV. Matter of fact, he may use it. What'd you do about that? I'd leave that place and go somewhere where they believe the Bible and wouldn't listen to that old Bible perverter. Even if he's saved, he's letting the devil use him. Huh? Now, I'm going to give you about four things how you earnestly contend for the faith. Four things. Number one, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, you should be a workman, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's try and read that verse. I think I left some of it out. I know it did. 2 Timothy 2. Now, you know, a lot of people read this thing, they say, oh, that's for the preacher. That's for the preacher. See? Bible says study. Study. Now, it didn't say read your Bible every day. It didn't say take a Bible course and read your Bible through in 3 years. It said study, didn't it? Anybody know what study means? Let me give you a definition of it. Study means you put yourself into it. You give yourself. See? Did you ever go to school and they're saying, I want you to study that till you know it. I mean, put yourself into it, get into it until it gets you. Put some into it. He said, I read my Bible through every year. Yeah, you do, and you don't know a thing in the world about it. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto your preacher. Why do you study? Why does the Bible tell you to study? So you'll be approved of God. Amen? You want God to approve of you? Then study His Word. Well, you know something about it. Listen, folks, listen to me. You can't know any more about God than God reveals to you in His Word. Isn't it strange? Some of these fellas get up and talk 30 minutes about the Bible and talk about the things the Lord does and never, never use one verse of Scripture. Huh? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. See? That's a bad word in America today, isn't it? Work? Work? See? When God saves you, you become a workman. You didn't retire. You didn't become a lazy man. You become a workman, see? Because when God saved you, He put some work in you. You say, God never put no work in me. We get saved and He will. Sure He will. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed of what God said? A lot of folks are because you're afraid to be different. You're ashamed to go out down the world and dress different. You want to make sure you fit in. You know, you're ashamed to go out and dress different. You're afraid to go out and talk different. You're afraid to go out and say you believe different because you don't want the ridicule. You don't want the persecution of it. You know? Now, all you got to do in this world, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to give you a formula here. All you got to do in this world to get along and prosper is go out there and do what they do. Be like they are. You men want to get along? Grow you some hair, get on your little underwear, chop them off all you need, and go out there and just say, hey, here I am. Here I am. You may want to get along, cut off your shorts or your britches and go out there and, here I am, here I am. I'm like you, see, I'm just like you. You ain't no problem. No problem at all. But don't go out there looking right and dressing right and saying, I believe the Bible, Jesus is my Savior, sin will send you to hell. Queers ought to go to hell. Let's get rid of the aim. Let's hang the queers. Don't go out and say something like that because you'll get in trouble, folks. You'll get in trouble. You're ashamed of that, ain't you? Bible says you study the Word, you won't be ashamed of that, though. Huh? Now listen, what did it say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed. Now what do you do? What do you do? Why do you study? So you can go ahead and quote scripture and let everybody know, man, I know the Bible. Man, look at me. I'm Dr. Snotty Boy. I know that Bible. Amen. No, ain't why you study. You got two reasons for study. To be approved of God and know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Know how to use it. Huh? Contending for the faith. Number two, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Same book, just turn to get another chapter there and we'll show you something here. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. Bible says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearance and his kingdom. That's the rapture and the advent together. See? Preach the word. You know how you contend for the faith? You study it. And you put it out. You put it out. See? Now the Bible said we should earnestly contend. Contend means fight. Well, who are you going to fight? Huh? Who are you going to fight, folks? Going to fight the preacher for preaching the Bible? That's what a lot of folks do. They go to church and a lot of folks come in, they leave, they say, I ain't going back there. I don't like him. I don't like what he said. You hear what he said this morning? That's one they want to fight. But you know the Bible says you want to fight? Let me show you. Take your Bible and turn to Titus. Let me show it to you. Yesterday in time, if you're negative, when you know you're on the odd side, you don't agree. You know, something wrong with you. You're not like the rest. You don't agree. Why, you got a better different idea. Titus chapter 1. Now, this is actually what the qualifications of a pastor. And I'm not going to get into all that. But look what the Bible said in verse 9, Titus 1, 9. The Bible says, holding fast. Huh? Holding fast the faithful word. You see, everything that we associate with, everything that we do or should do, is related to the Bible, isn't it? Huh? You know why the church has gone so far downhill in the last 20 years, folks? Because they just quit using the Bible. Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught. See? That he may be able by his college education. Huh? It don't say that, does it? It says he may be able by sound doctrine. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Getting sound doctrine on any subject, see, both to exhort and convict the gainsayers, see. The exhort means to stir them up. Convict means to show them they're wrong, and the gainsayers are the money grabbers. And boy, you better not start on that today, amen. You better not go out here and take the Bible and start showing these fellas in it for the money where they're wrong. Taking the Bible by sound doctrine. Huh? You better go out and go to some of these big churches, got 14 acres of land, 14 buildings, and a $2,000 income Sunday, and say, the Bible says that if you profess God is again, I'm supposed to stay away from you. You better not do that. But it says that, don't it? Number four is to living a godly life. And I'll get on that some more in just a minute. But let me tell you some folks, you can't live a godly life apart from a godly book. Christianity is not a product of a church. Christianity is not a product of a school. Christianity is not a product of education. Christianity is a product of a book. One book. You show me a real Christian, I'll show you somebody that stays in the book. And that believes the book, see? And like I told you this morning, you know, you folks come here, you say you learn some Bible, and that's good. I try to teach you the Bible. But that's no good if you don't believe it. It don't matter what I teach you, son. If you don't believe it, it's just not going to do you no good. If I teach you something the Bible said, and you walk out the door and say, well, that's pretty good this morning, wasn't it? But, oh, well, it ain't gonna affect me none. Then it's no good. It don't mean nothing. I mean, I'll sit there and talk things and teach things people think they ought to do, and before they get out the door, they just still doing the same thing. Say, well, that dude, it makes me feel bad, but I'm if it makes me feel bad, how do you think it makes God feel towards you? Huh? So you ain't got an answer to me. You ain't got to worry about what I think. You better be worried about what God thinks, though, see? That's what you better be concerned about. But if you open the Bible and you tell it and you believe it, you got convictions. I've got some convictions. I live by those convictions. I've got some convictions in this place here in my house. I got some rules in my house you can't do if you come in here. You can't come in my house with your clothes off. You can't come in my house blowing smoke all over the place. You can't come in my house using dirty language. Those are some convictions I have because I have a belief in what God said. And I'm not saying, you say, well, you must think you're better than, no, I don't think I'm better than nobody. No, sir, not absolutely not. I've just got some beliefs that I live by. And if you live in my house, you got to go by them or you got to go to. And I don't care whether you son, daughter, in-law, outlaw, crooked Jesse James, whoever, you're going to live by my house. But we're in a time where the Christian home don't live by conviction. Anything goes. Anything goes, anybody come and go, so they won't. You get established on the Bible, it won't be that way, folks. Let me tell you something. The condition of a church is the result of the condition of the home. If you ain't got no conviction at home, you won't have none, you come here. That's why everything in the world moved into church. You sit in the world, you sit in the church. If it's new in the world, give it 3 months, it'll be in the church. You know why? Because though they don't have any convictions out there, they don't have any here. Like something else that the church has lost, we need to keep, and that is character. Now, character is what you are. We're not talking about what you say. We're not talking about what you think. We're not talking about the way we'd like to see it. We're talking about really what you are. That's your character. Now, what builds character? You say, well, I think we ought to go to school and get character. No, you won't get character from education. Most time education, you lose your character. Let me show you what character comes from. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is what Paul wrote to a church here. This is New Testament church. This is those that are saved by God's grace, sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we profess. And Paul said this, verse 1, I'll read verse 1 to get the connection to verse 2, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1, the Bible said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistle of commendation to you, of letters or commendation from you? And Paul was saying, do we need some kind of something beside what we got, a commendation from you? And Paul said this in verse 2, ye are our epistles. Epistle means, in the Hebrew, Greek, it means a letter. Paul said, we don't need you to write one on paper. We don't need you to say, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. See, people are going to read your life. Huh? That's what he's saying. People are going to read your life. They read your life, what are they going to read? Now let me show you something. Just flip over that to the last verse in that chapter, verse 18. And let me show you what they're going to read. Verse 18. The Bible says, but we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, did you ever look in a glass? Did you ever look in a mirror? Kind of scary sometimes, ain't it? But you look in a mirror, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see an image of exactly what's there. There won't be nothing changed. There won't be no put on. You look in a mirror, you're going to see exactly what's in front of that mirror. Now, anyway, he's saying this verse here. He's saying this, that as you look in the Bible, as you begin to read, let me read the text, but we all with open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. So if you look in the Bible, you're going to see the Lord. Okay? And as you see the Lord is going to change you into His image. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. See? You get in the Bible and see the Lord, it's going to be like a mirror. And you see the Lord and believe the Bible, God is going to change you in His image. And then people are going to see your life. And they see your life, they're going to see the Lord. That's character, folks. That's real character. You see, if you want to build character in your children, you teach them the Bible. You put the Bible in them. You don't put Barney and Mickey Mouse and that garbage in them. You put God in them. Put some fear. Barney don't build character. I love you, you love me, we're as happy as we can be. That's what kids know. They know that garbage, see, because that's all they see. And that's what mamas and dads put in them, though. You want to watch Barney, honey? You want to watch Mickey Mouse, honey? You want to watch this, honey? And they watch all that garbage all their life, 10 or 12 years old, and never know a thing about the Lord. I'm talking about building character. I'm talking about things the church needs to keep. Church needs to have lost. Well, I better get off that. That ain't the best part of it, is it? All right, something else we need to stay with this morning, the church, and that is we need to stay with what we promise. Like a contract. See? Go back to Ephesians again. Let me show you something over here. Ephesians chapter 5. I got four or five places I could run to here, but I want to read you one scripture here. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. In other words, do you redeem the time? Do you make good use of the time God gives you? Father, let me show you something here. Now, we're Bible believers, and I'm saved, and I'm saved for eternity. Amen? Now, if you're saved, one, you're saved for eternity. God saved you for eternity. Most folks won't give God saved them for eternity, and they won't give God 3 hours a week. Amen. Amen, sir. Oh, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. They wouldn't give God nothing. See? God gave you time, and I guarantee if God said He gave you a talent, something you can do. You know, it's strange, but there's very few people in this world that ever do anything for the Lord. I need to stand before God, and God said, well, now you've done this for them folks down there. You've done this. You helped them. You've done all this, but what'd you do for me? I got a brother. I was up to see him last week. He's like me. He's about shot. His health's bad, but he's a cigarette-sucking Southern Baptist deacon. And I was thinking about him, you know. I said, you know, if he's saved, when he stand before God, and God said, you spent more on tobacco than you did missionaries, boy, that's going to be a sad day, ain't it? I need to think that God gave me something, and I spent more investing in this world than I did God. I need to think I stand before God, and God said, you did more for the world down there than you did for me. Folks, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm bad enough, so I'm probably slack as anybody about doing things. But let me tell you something, folks. There's some time where in our life where it's time and say, Lord, I got to do something for you. The church has quit doing that. They're promoting schools and buildings and everything else, and they ain't doing nothing for God. The average church is doing time. If you said, I want you to do something here and don't cost you $4,000, they say, not interested. If it don't bring something in, we're not interested. If it don't bring money in, we don't have nothing to do with it. When you got saved, you went into a contract with God. God saved you forever. God gave you eternal life. Why can't you give Him a little time here in this world? All right, I'm going to show you something else here. I believe the church is missing out. And that's compassion. That's the way people feel. We're missing a little bit this morning. Most people have no feelings for other people. The fellow came by here one night. He needed something. We try to, you know, if somebody come by hungry, we try to feed them. We don't have any facilities, you know. And I don't give money because they just going to take the money and go buy cigarettes or beer or something. So I don't give them money. But this fellow was had a need, and I said, well, I don't have anything. But I said, I know a preacher in Fort Myers that does. And I called him, and I told him, I said, this fellow is coming over, and he has this need. He said, well, we ain't set up nothing like that. Now, they could have helped this fellow. They had to... what the man needed. But they said, we're not set up nothing like that. See, the man didn't have no money. He couldn't give nothing. So they wasn't interested. This is an independent Baptist preacher now. This ain't the liberal. You know what? It's a shame when the Catholic have more compassion for people than the Baptist do. The Catholic priest down here one time asked me, said, if you ever had trouble paying your light bill, I can pay it for you. Has a Catholic priest. I wouldn't take that devil's money. But he offered to pay my life bill. He said, they organize every certain area they allow so much money every year to help people. If you go down there and say, I don't have the money to pay my light bill and I'm out of groceries, they'll pay your light bill and buy you some groceries. The Baptist won't. See, folks, sometimes in order to deal with people's spiritual thing, you got to deal with their cardinal needs too. I mean, somebody walks me and says, preacher, I'm starving. I got to have something to eat. I said, and then I'm due for it. You wasn't in church, son. You didn't put an offering. Then I'm due for you. What's he going to think of me? Well, if I feed him and give him the gospel tract and tell him about the Lord, he might get saved. So, now, you know, they accuse me, though. A lot of the good brothers accuse me of not having no compassion, no love for people because I'm so hard. You know, I preach pretty hard sometimes. They say, oh, Brother Street ain't got no love for nobody. I got more love for my little thing than most of them got in their whole body. I'll tell people the truth. I'll hit people if I can. I wouldn't turn nobody away from me if I could help them. You might go to some of them big churches over there and say, "Oh, preacher, I sure would like to have something to eat. I mean, I'm starving to death." They say, "Well, we ain't set up for that." Now, let me show you something. Let me see. 1 John. Let me just give you one scripture to go along with that, because you might not believe it if I don't. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. No, it ain't first. It's chapter 2. I get right in it. 1 John chapter 2. And look at verse... let's see. Let's read verse 27. 1 John 2:27. Bible said, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you, but that the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Okay? I mean, what does the Bible teach me? Now, the Bible said that the anointing that we receive, we didn't get it from men, and it teaches something. Alright? Well, when I read the Bible and I found out why I got saved, why I lost saved, I found out that the Lord, the way He saved me, had compassion on me, right? I didn't have none on Him. I didn't love Him. He loved me. See? Now, look here. Let's see. There's another verse I want to read. I can't find them. Let me look. Give me just a minute here. Four, verse seven. Okay. Yeah, 4:7. Look at 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7. Bible said, "Beloved," and that's talking to say to you, "let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Well then, hey, you know, let's take that verse. And you believe that verse? How many folks believe that verse? The Bible says that everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. That means unsaved people don't know anything about love. The only love they know about is Hollywood. Amen? You see, love is not man and woman. Love is not the Hollywood bid. That's who the world is. We're not talking about that. We mean unsaved people have no knowledge of love. They say, "I love my children." Why, you lying? If you loved your children, you'd teach them about the Lord where they wouldn't go to hell and burn for their sin. That's right. Man, say, "I love my boy, I love my girl," and won't teach them to church, and won't teach them the Lord. Let them sit and watch that Ouija box 7 days a week, and let them cuss and drink beer, and learn that old filth of the world, and won't teach them about the Lord. Say, "Love you a lie." Go up and say, "Well, I'll take your little kid and we'll throw him in the fire." That's what you're going to do. He's going to end up in the fire if you don't tell him about the Lord. The Bible says, look at verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Huh? They say today in this day and time, if you got a little kid and you beat them and make them do right, that's child abuse. That puts you in jail for it. But you raise them up to go to hell, and that's not child abuse. That's okay. Huh? I would have mine in heaven beat than in hell not beat. Amen? "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Definition: God is love. Amen? In this, the fact that God is love would manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son to the world that we might live through Him. Well, hey, if you love somebody, what should you want to do with them? You want to see them get saved, amen? Well, sure you would. That's what the verse says. God proved his love by sending his son to die for our sin, and we can live through him. If you love somebody, the love that God gives you, you'll tell them about Jesus so they won't die and go to hell. Say, I love my kid. You won't drag him under a Bible. You won't teach him the Bible. And say you love him while you're a liar. You say you calling me a liar? Yeah, you're a liar. Liar, 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 liar. Amen. Verse 10. Herein is love. Here it is. Not that we love God. Ain't you glad God loves you? Well, you didn't love him first. Before you got saved, you was a God hater. You couldn't stand having nothing to do with God. You didn't want the Bible around you. You didn't want no preachers around you. You didn't want no Christian around you. You didn't want nobody around you to let you to God till you got saved. That's all you love, right? Don't you? Amen. See? See, it's a love problem is a problem. The problem he has is a love problem. Because we remember hearing about it last week. What you love is what you're going to go after.